Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Regretsville is brought to you by the Forever Dog Podcast Network.
Find us and other great podcasts at www.foreverdogpodcast.com.
And guess what? If you're loving what you're hearing, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts.
And hey, stay a while. Please write us a nice review and give us a 5-star rating.
How nice would that be?
Oh.
You won't regret it.
Oh, it makes my day.
Oh, Tracy will come skipping in here and I go, girl, what? You got some pep in your step.
And I'm not a happy person.
No, she's very sad.
I'm very sad.
Thank you.
Welcome to Regretsville. I'm Jesse Jollis.
I'm Tracy Soren, and together we're Soren and Jollis. And this is our podcast.
This is our podcast, you guys. You made it. Okay?
You made it.
And maybe
here.
You're living your life and you're like, oh my God, no regrets. Live in the moment.
But we squashed that real quick.
We're like, nah.
Look, let's back. Be honest.
Let's regret.
Don't bullshit a bullshitter.
Exactly. We don't need it. We don't have time for it.
Oh my God. Today is really exciting.
Oh, today we got somebody here who maybe you've heard of him. Okay, Lou Gonzalez. Maybe you haven't, but you should. He's a comedian. He's a performer. What about a teacher? Okay, at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater in New York. Okay, you can see him Sunday night in Higgins. Is it Higgins?
Higgins.
You know what? There's an H there. You can make the sound if you want to.
Is it a silent H?
It's
a silent H. When I walked in, I didn't know. When I joined the team, I didn't know it was. People are like really hard on it, but I'm like, you know what? As long as
Live
you know the
life.
Name, honey.
Yeah. That's right. As long as you're saying it. Every Sunday night, and you can see him perform sketch and improv with Mannequin Room around the city. Follow him on every platform at Angry Lou. And I wouldn't call you angry. But you know what? Welcome, Lou. Welcome.
Yeah. Welcome, Angry Lou.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. The handle was at a younger point in my time.
Sure.
I kind of regret the Angry Lou.
Yeah.
Because people are like, oh, you're not angry. I was like, I know, but I was angsty.
Yes.
When I first made my handle, and I thought I was important and I had something to say.
Instead, an angsty Lou wasn't, you weren't feeling it.
I was taken.
No, I felt like angry was just like, was real simple. And
it
was more appealing to look at,
font. It's about that font, baby.
Yeah.
I get that. If something doesn't look right on the page, I'm like, this is going to bother me.
That's right.
I do get it.
Print and repeat.
I do get it.
So how we like to start the show is we do Regret of the Week.
Mm-hmm.
And please feel free to chime in. Foy, foy, foy.
Jesse's
I had a heart attack in the middle of that.
We're always going to get a little stumble.
A steam came out of your ears.
We're going to get a little stumble.
Oh, my God.
That's
so
what
sorry.
Happens. We stumble.
So what? I regret it.
Who cares?
Tracy, why don't you start us off?
Sure. So I have been trying to really focus on self-care. You know, pull me out of a funk. So I decided to go to yoga.
Whoa.
I didn't tell you this because I wanted the story to be
authentic.
I didn't tell Jesse. And I went to a place that was right by her apartment, actually.
Oh.
But I decided to go very, very late. It was a 12 o'clock class, but I decided like at 11:45.
Wow.
I was like, just do it. Enough. Just go. So I literally ran over.
Yeah.
I got to the class and I was already sweating. So number one regret was just don't go, because I was literally got in there drenched in sweat. They put me under the skylight to make room for me because I had one more minute to the class.
There
was a skylight. It was noon, which meant the sun was overhead.
Oh, no.
And I was also PMSing. When I PMS, balls of sweat, she can attest to this, drip down my arm.
Balls.
Not like I have balls of sweat. So I was almost dying, and the instructor got into it very, very quickly.
Yeah.
Very quickly. So there was multiple points during the class where I was about to pass out, and
yeah.
I was like, you can't do it. So that was my number one regret of there's more to the story, but was
not
that was
out.
Running to this class.
Yeah.
Moronic. You're running to a workout class. Moronic.
Well,
in 80-degree, 5-degree weather.
Yeah.
But here's the other part. And I'll never want to – I never, ever want to – poop on anyone who has child care issues.
Yeah.
But her
oh,
toddler,
no.
The instructor's toddler showed up.
It 20 came, first minutes. Of all, just walked in, which I was like, yeah. bitch, how did you roll
well,
here?
First of all, that's called a grand entrance. Yeah. I appreciate the fashionably late yes. entrance of the toddler.
So all of a sudden, you know, in yoga, you have to be very zen. It's about getting from a mindful place. And her toddler, her two-year-old son, showed up to this class. And I wasn't going to judge because you never know. You never know what's going on.
No.
But the only thing I will say is that she allowed the child to run throughout the entire class collecting blocks.
No.
And it was a very tight, tight class. And you were supposed to, it was one of those things where I was laying and the child was running on my hands. And I was like, but she was also like, and now go into your safe space and go into your mental space. And I think my only regret is that I didn't look at somebody and go, what? That's it. Just to have a moment with somebody else. I know that's such a small regret, but just a little look. Cause I thought this is why I didn't do it. I didn't look at anyone to be like, is this fun? Is this a funny story? Cause I thought it was so funny. I thought it was funny to have a child running around a yoga class.
I would punch that fucking kid.
Yeah. Because she said he was building the blocks in front of a girl who was doing it. And literally the instructor was like, I'll protect you. And I was like, just give your child an iPad for 20 minutes. But, or like, you know, let him do the yoga with us.
Sure,
okay.
child yoga.
Didn't want to, you know, I don't know what anyone's business is. But I just to have one, I love those little moments you could steal with other New Yorkers of like, this is what's happening.
Steal a moment.
Happens all the time on the train.
Yeah.
When there's someone who is just out of it. Yeah. And they're just like flipping on the train. Yes. And then once they leave the car, everyone's just like, what was that?
Exactly.
What just happened? Right, guys?
Right.
It's good. It's a good
feeling.
Well, that's
why I just wish I knew someone more. But I thought to myself, you're the sweaty girl who almost passed out. You can't
don't
camaraderie.
Be the girl also
you can't get any camaraderie out of
this. Do you feel that your annoyance was compounded by the sweat and the running?
Yes. Mm. Well, no. No, I will say this. My annoyance, I wasn't necessarily fully annoyed. Because here's the thing. I'm really trying. It's like, you don't know what this person.
Yeah.
You don't know. So why should we? But like, I wasn't like annoyed where I was like, oh, fuck this. Da, da, da. I was literally like, this is so funny because a yoga class, you're supposed to be like, she literally put on the music for it to quiet down, and the kids started hysterically crying.
That's what I'm talking
about. So I'm just like, this is really funny. Like,
it
this is funny.
I will also say that, like, if the kid's cute, I forgive a lot.
Forgive if it is a cute kid.
And most kids are cute.
He was cute. He was a cute kid.
Did he have overalls? Because like I'm trying to picture.
He had like a little t-shirt, little red shorts. He's blonde little kid. Aww. And he was running around. And again, it was a cute kid.
Cute.
But I wish I just made a link with one person.
Yeah.
Just to be like, how funny she's telling. Because like, imagine like trying to be like, she's like, go into whatever space you have. Please go into it. Yeah. But like then a kid's crying. I just thought it was such a comedic moment.
Yeah.
And I had no one to, because I already was like, I'm the sweaty girl who's passing out in the middle of this class. I literally was like,
someone has to
had to
that
sit
role,
down.
Baby.
Yeah.
I had to sit down.
You know, I think toddlers in general aren't great at yoga.
No.
And I think that's something that I don't think needs to be explained.
No.
No.
I think you can make an educated guess.
Sure.
Yeah.
And also, I think the thing with parents is like, I respect that that's your kid.
Yeah.
And I respect your patience.
Yeah.
I have none of it.
I know.
I have none of it for none of your children. And
none.
And I feel bad for parents when they get like embarrassed. But I was like, there's a time and a place. It's like, hey, listen, you've made this choice.
Yeah.
You can't live a regular life.
Yeah. Yeah,
exactly.
That's you now.
But I'm also just like, this is, if it was a Zumba class, I would have like, bring this kid in,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
let him do Zumba. But I was like, yoga, when you're putting on like, you know, Zen music.
No.
And a child is crying. I was like, but listen, what were we all doing? I mean, it was noon on a Friday.
It's noon on a Friday.
It's noon on a Friday.
It's noon on a Friday. Especially. You know,
I would
some
think
Fridays.
The weekend, I don't know. It's like almost it's a domino effect, right? We know if we're reading the book, if you give a mouse a cookie, you know, it's like if you bring a child to meditation, like shit's going to go down.
Did you say if you give a mouse a cookie?
Cookie. If you give a mouse a cookie.
Did you ever hear that before?
No.
Oh my God. It's like if you give a mouse a cookie, he'll ask for milk. And then it keeps going.
It's like, so never give anyone anything.
Okay. Oh, Lou, you have homework.
what a fun altruistic.
Exactly.
Message.
Exactly. Very funny.
It's like you give and you give and you give. And I wouldn't give a kid a meditation or a yoga platform.
No. I don't think they're ready for it.
No.
I literally was like, this kid can sit here, just don't have him run while people are doing downward dog. Also, I'm nervous.
Hell no.
Also, well, you're a yoga instructor. Why isn't your kid calm?
Yeah, exactly. Is he mindful?
Right.
Then how am I going to listen to you?
I'm questioning your abilities as a teacher.
Exactly. Listen, those who can't do, teach. So and we know that.
It was very, I just wish I had, you know, a little more of a friend in that minute. You know, just to be like, remember that time that kids ran over my hand when I was doing a plank? Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that was my little regret, just running there and not at all trying to be friendly. Oh. I ran the fuck out of there. I was like, I was the sweatiest bitch in the room.
Right,
I
ran right
I think, out. You know what? Maybe if you did hang around, you probably would have had that moment.
I know. I ran. I jetted out.
You're so busy. You're so busy.
There was
busy.
A girl
so
next athletic. To me that had, like, very, like, makeup and nails.
Oh,
and
get
I
out.
Had, my feet were just truly, like, disgusting.
I hate someone who works out looking like they're
they
not
look she looked like
out.
She came out of a Lululemon ad.
Yeah, like, and I'm still doing the oversized tee.
Also, this is noon on a Friday. What are you where are you going?
Yeah. No.
Are you a comedian?
After
taking
yoga,
$8
you
class?
Have to shower.
Okay. Thank
right?
you.
You have to shower. So you're wasting that makeup. That's how I feel.
Anyway.
Money's
anyway,
tight.
That was my regret.
Okay.
Be more friendly.
Here's my regret. So I went to the beach. The other week. Thank you.
Oh, you went to the beach?
I did.
Sorry.
I did. That's I went shocking. To the beach. It was so fun. But I'm one of those people. Sorry. I laugh because every summer I go, you beautiful porcelain doll goddess that you are. You know, in winter you truly shine. You are this Russian, you know, pale, dark featured. Just, you are exquisite. You know what I mean?
Our ancestors did not do the heat. Yes.
No, but in the summer you looking sick because you pale. So I'm like, Jesse, maybe go get some sun. But and then I say to myself, maybe you could even get a color. And I go, hold the phone. And then I go, so how much sunscreen are we putting on? And this is where the issue
no.
comes in. Yes, it does.
No.
Yes, it does.
You're,
so,
you're a Jew. Well, a pale Jew.
Sorry
no.
about it. Because I went and I laid out for the first, like, I don't know, 3 hours with, like, thank you, with, like, 30 all over my body, okay?
Okay.
Then I went with a friend. Me and my friend went to go get lunch, okay? And then we were like, you know what? Let's go back to the beach and just, like, look out at the beach. Anywho, long story short, but I didn't reapply, okay?
No.
And I went, I'll be fine. This is what I said. No. I'll be fine. And when I got home that day and then the next 2 days couldn't sleep, I had such a bad sunburn.
Of course.
This happens to me every
Who
time.
Do you think you are? That's some Ashkenazi
know.
Blood here.
Well, guess what? Your girl burnt. She peeled.
Please.
Okay? She
oh,
peeled.
Boy.
Which, once I
oh,
start
boy.
Peeling, I don't know what starts happening, but I'm like, I'm peeling my skin. I love my life because, like, I'm peeling my skin. And it's just coming off. You know what I mean? You just have skin and you're like a snake now.
And I'll report that, Jesse.
Slithering.
I'm a snake now.
I have no arms or legs and I'm ageless.
Did you get any color? Because I can't.
I did get color. I'm way darker than I was, you guys.
You're the darkest I've ever seen.
Oh,
thank
God.
You.
Look at this one.
Oh, and you know what? I'm going to the beach again in a week. So
Your
homegirl might be.
That's with your family, though, and I'm sure your mother makes you.
Oh, I'll put on sunscreen, but I'm saying, like, I'm still going to get color.
Yeah.
That's it.
I refuse not to.
That's it.
Anywho,
that's
sunburns.
The mistake.
I hate sunburns.
I think I don't know how to relate to this because I don't get the sunburn. I got that melanin.
Yes.
And
it's natural sunburn.
I thrive in the sun even though I hate the beach.
Yeah.
But like when I'm out there.
Oh yeah.
Like a shade so fast.
I went
to Florida.
Oh yeah.
I was in Florida, what was it? Late June.
Yeah.
And I turned 2 shades, everyone knew. There are pictures of me as a kid where I look unrecognizable.
Yes.
I was like, all you do is see like teeth and eyes.
Yeah.
And it's just like, this is a dark child. And I'm like, how do I get back to that? Because I want to get back there.
Yeah.
It's I don't have that ability anymore to get that dark.
When you're a kid, anything can happen. But I feel like, you know, my boyfriend looks very, people think he's Jewish, like Jewish, Ashkenazi Jewish, like, all throughout winter, and then summer comes, and you know he's has Puerto Rican blood. Boom, boom, dark.
There it is.
Yeah. If he lays out for one day, he'll get a little burn. Boom, done. Shade darker.
My mother is a really big beach person.
Oh, wow.
Is that why you hate it?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, let me tell you how my mother would handle the beach. And this is how you know you're, like, my mother, like, mothered the right way. She just she was just like, listen, I got something for the kids to do, and then I'm living my life.
So
every time we would go to the beach, she's like, I'm not spending money on any food in the beach. We're bringing food to the beach.
Yes, of course.
And you know what she would do? She was like, I'm going to make a big old pot of rice and beans. Yeah. I'm going to put that in there, and you know what we're going to do? We're going to get a bucket of KFC.
I love that.
I'm going to get all my wine coolers. Oh. I'm going to get all drinks for the kids. I'm going to put in a big thing. I'm going to put all that there. Kids, you go do what you're doing. Me and my sister were taking sun.
Yeah.
And my memories of the beach are just like my mother and my aunt just like laying out and just recklessly running into the water, just like no one supervising me. And I was like, that's how you parent.
Yeah. Okay? That's it. Let them fend for themselves.
Sure. Maybe I drowned, but you know what? I saved myself.
Exactly.
I saved myself. And I learned. Yeah. I learned to swim. I learned to live out the elements. And I became stronger for it.
There it is. Absolutely. I love that.
And that's how you parent.
That's it. And now, you know what, yoga woman?
Parent.
Yep, that's right. Put your kid out in the street. Don't put him in the... He's going to find his way back.
There's balconies in that yoga studio. Will. Just keep him out of the balcony.
Come on now. He can jump.
Can he not jump?
Kids can jump.
Come on.
Kids have the ability to use their legs to do something that looks like jumping.
Yeah.
And he can do it.
He can do it. That's it.
You got to just
trust beach, him. I think the beach for me is like, it's always like, I'm like, oh, okay. And then like, I get a little bored after a while.
That's my problem at the beach. Your homegirl gets bored. But you know, we were playing card games. We had a bunch of food with us, speaking of food. But then the fruit got hot.
Oh. No, you got to get a cooler.
Yeah. You got to get a cooler.
We didn't do that.
What are you doing? Just walking around with loose fruit.
Well, we were reckless, and we went fruit BRs, bewildered.
Yeah, you gotta have a cooler.
Well, we didn't do that. We said cooler, schmooler. We're eating hot fruit. Oh.
you survived it.
Yeah, that's
did.
It.
Yes, we did.
Well, as you know, this podcast is about, you know, we do a regret of the weeks, but who cares about us? We want to know about you.
Wow.
Yeah, fuck us.
So, Lou, what is your regret?
I have a lot.
I love that.
Yes, that's what we hear.
I appreciate and cherish all my regrets because they've made me a better person.
Yes.
Blah, 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 blah. but I think one of my bigger ones was just, I guess, this sounds very nerdy, but it's true. I did not put any focus on my studies in high school. In the fact that I had a scholarship and I lost it. Like immediately.
Oh. Like, in high school?
In high school. I had a scholarship to, because I went to Catholic school.
Yeah.
Because the thing is in New York is like you can go to public school and just be like, you know, fingers crossed. or you go to a Catholic school where they like pay their teachers. This was when like the Catholic church was like rolling money.
Yes.
You know? This is before they found out all the nasty little secrets.
Yeah.
And they lost that money.
Yeah.
But, like, you would just take your kid to a Catholic school. So my mom was like, you're going to Catholic school, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
So, like, in grade school, and I hate this also makes me sound shitty, I didn't really put that much effort. Like, things came very easy to me.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like, in terms of just, like getting good grades. And also, like, there was competitiveness.
Yes.
And I was like, I need a better grade than my friends because that's how I value myself in this environment.
It's a motivator.
Yeah. But then when I went to high school, I didn't know anyone, and they were kind of the same way. They were like, oh, I need good grades for X, Y, and Z. But I was one of the few very clear minorities.
Yes.
And I feel like that affected me. I didn't know what it was. But I was still, like, being a stinky, stupid little teenager, and I was like, I don't like these people. I don't like this whole setup.
Right.
They forced me to take Latin? What?
Dead language.
I'm a Puerto Rican who doesn't speak Spanish. Yes. I needed to catch up.
Exactly.
Okay? I needed to catch up.
Yes.
And so I was like, why are you giving me a dead language? And I fell asleep several times in Latin.
Oh, how could you not?
How could you not?
Is it nuns teaching you?
No.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
We don't know. Yeah, they would get non-clergy involved. This is when they started... This is when the secrets started coming out.
Oh, so they were like, get them out. Yeah.
They weren't beating kids anymore.
Yes.
I had got in just before like that became like you can't do it.
Fun.
So you lost the scholarship, but you still stayed.
I still stayed. And then I had discovered in 8th grade marijuana.
Oh, 8th grade, wow.
Yes.
The pot.
Pot.
I guess that makes sense.
And so, like, I became friends with some, I wouldn't say potheads, but kids who had access to
they had a card. They knew what they were doing.
Yeah, they knew what they were doing. They had access to it.
Yes.
And so, like, I was like, oh, these guys are fun. We're playing video games. We're smoking. I was just like, you know what? I'm cool with just, like, getting by. And I was just, like, so impressed with myself that I was like, I am not failing.
Yeah.
And I am smoking weed and I'm playing video games. And my parents are like, what's going on with your grades? I was like, get off my back. And the whole time I didn't tell my parents that I was just like, in all honesty, this is not a referendum on marijuana.
Yeah.
I could have studied and learned on marijuana. Yeah. I was just like, there was also the aspect of video games.
Exactly. It was the video games that came in.
If I'm on marijuana, just like, give me a book, I'll read it.
Yeah, exactly.
But if there's a video game, I'm not going to read the book.
Exactly. Yeah.
If you're giving me a video game.
That still applies to a lot of people.
Yeah.
As adults.
And I feel like, I did, and also, like, because I didn't value educate, like, I also didn't value, like, college. I didn't see any. Mm. It felt like a very different world.
Yeah.
None of my family did college, and my parents were great that they were like, you know, you do you, we respect you, and I love them for that.
Yeah.
They didn't really, like, push me.
Right.
And because things came easy, they were like, oh my god, this one we're just gonna put him in auto. He's got it.
Yeah. Exactly.
And I think, like, I didn't have it. Like, yeah. I was just a stupid teenager.
Oh, yeah. Teenagers, you really can't.
Yeah, I only applied to one college. I only did the SAT once. Like, I know that kids do SATs multiple times. I didn't value any of that. I didn't look into it. When I spoke to my guidance counselor, they were like, what do you want to be? I was like, I don't know. And also, just, like, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I'm just saying, like, that would be, like, a minor regret. That, like, if I just put in 20% more effort into what was going on around me.
I get that. Don't you think it's insane, though, when you think about a fucking high schooler, like a senior who's, like, picking their nose, doesn't know which way is right or left, and then they're like, what do you want to do? You're like, bitch,
I don't fucking know.
Not be picked on? Like, I don't know, survive this?
Yeah, yeah, I want to get a Wendy's spicy chicken sandwich and then masturbate.
Like, exactly,
I was masturbating, I was crushing. I was masturbating, I was crushing on dudes, I was masturbating. Because, like, when you're in the closet, all you got is your imagination, honey.
Absolutely.
Who am I making out with? I ain't kissing none of these girls. God bless them. Live your life. God bless you. You got your own struggle.
Yes, struggle.
But I want to be kissing some boys.
Yes.
And in a Catholic school, not good.
Oh, for
not good.
Sure.
Not good.
I
not
can't
good.
Imagine.
I forget
that.
About that.
I can't imagine.
Catholic school in the Bronx.
Yes.
Oh,
so, yeah.
No.
It was work. So, like, maybe there was also the undertones of that, which is,
of course.
You know, like, there's, you know.
You had,
like,
a lot going on, too.
That's a lot.
You know what? I think it was a lot going on for someone so stupid. You know? And I think that's the thing that's interesting about, like, teenagers is that, like, we're just like, oh, right, there's a lot going on for you, but you're too stupid to understand and deal with
you
it.
You can't comprehend. Yeah. Your brain is not formed.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
I can I be honest with you? I cannot remember a thing about high school.
I
can't remember. I remember, like, a teacher. Like, that's how it's like, I don't know. Like, I feel like also in America, we really do put so much pressure on
too much.
This. Like, if you go to, you know, in Europe, they're like, take a gap year.
Yeah.
Don't, if you're not someone who wants to go to college or university, you don't have to do that. So it's like, yeah, I get that. I was similar to you. Like, things did come easier to me. So I understand that. But when it came to the SATs, I was like, this is bullshit. It's not the SATs, not the most biggest piece of shit test. Who?
I think most standardized testing is ignorant to just how people are different. They're just like, wait, there's a standard of knowledge that we all need.
Right.
And also, like, what is this knowledge and how is this useful? And I think it's just like, it's one of those things when, like, I have to, like, sometimes I'll go out there and do, like, workshops for, like, kids who are, like, going on, who are, like, on track for, like, stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I just want to say, like, hey, listen, no one knows what the fuck they're doing.
Yes.
Everyone is lying to you that there's a right way to do something.
Yes.
They're guessing. Everyone is guessing.
Yes.
No one knows.
And let's be honest, it's easier to be on a path than to be off of it. Because once you get out of college, you go, what the hell am I going to do?
Yeah, you're panicked.
It's the same thing if you get out of high school. It's like, what the hell am I going to do? I could do this thing, which will just keep me going on a path for a little longer before people come down my throat and they're going to go, what are you going to do? Because right. I don't know. That's why people sometimes go to grad school. Is they're like, you know what I'm not ready for? To make that decision. So I'm going to go read a book.
And I'll go be a lawyer.
And be a lawyer.
Yeah.
Right.
Lawyers are stupid.
That's what we're saying.
And so are doctors.
No.
But truly, people who go to school are dumb.
No.
It's funny just the way that you get through the system. It's just a system.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know anything. I took 3 years of Spanish. I know nothing.
I took 2 years of college Spanish. I didn't pick up jack shit about it. And I know, oh my God, the opportunities that'd be available to me if I knew Spanish,
honey.
Oh,
yeah.
But I would also say, that is just like, this is just what it is. I remember
right.
Someone was like, oh, why don't you don't know Spanish? It's like, oh, that sucks. I was like, excuse me, do not.
Yeah.
I am not here. I'm not here for your judgment.
No.
I was like, this is a situation which I grew up in. I was like, why don't you know all these other languages?
Yeah.
I was like, why don't you only know one? So why don't you shut up?
There's no languages are so hard to.
Literally,
they maybe they are. They
you have
are.
To be a genius. But you do.
I also think there's pressure. You know, there was a lot of like, there's pressure on you. It's like, we didn't grow up, and my mother didn't grow up going, you don't know Yiddish. Yiddish was spoken, and my grandmother spoke, they all spoke Yiddish, but no one thought, because they wanted to assimilate. They wanted to be, oh, they didn't want their kids to be speaking Yiddish. I would love to know Yiddish right now. I would love, wish my mother knew Yiddish. It's a little different, obviously.
Yeah.
General, whatever. You know what I'm saying? It's a little different.
I couldn't even help.
But I know, couldn't even do it. It's a little different. But it's just like, there wasn't pressure back then. Why is anyone judging anything? Who gives a shit?
It really is self-pressure. Because it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, oh, why aren't you like me? Why are you different?
Yeah.
Yes.
Or like, why are you not like my understanding of what you're supposed to be?
Right.
And I was just like, you need to take a look in the mirror and try to figure out, why do you feel this way about me?
Right.
Because you are broken. I was like, you know, do not come at me saying that there's something off with me. I was like, there's something wrong with your radar and how you're looking at
exactly.
me.
Exactly.
Yes.
I don't know Spanish because I don't know Spanish. I wish I did. Sure. That would be nice. That'd be fun.
It's just nice to know another language as well.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But also, you know what? There's also a lot of things that I wish, should have, could have, what is. And you know what? I could fucking learn it if I wanted to.
Right.
Damn straight.
And I will never learn
it. No. Listen, our friend, and a shout out to our friend Tracy Gordon, she learned Japanese. I mean, you know, it's like you can learn any.
You can do it.
You could do it if you really. She studies it.
She studies it.
You know, she lived in Japan and was able to. You know,
Some reason that was huge in my elementary school. There was a Japanese immersion freaking section, and this is how our morning announcement starts. Hello, Ohayo gozaimasu. I didn't even know what it meant. I just go, hello, Ohayo gozaimasu. Like. I didn't know.
Right.
I don't even know what I'm saying, but I was
you may not even be pronouncing it right.
Yes.
I bet you I'm butchering it.
Yes.
But
if you want to, like, I think it's wonderful for kids to learn languages.
Yes, no, that's true.
That is really wonderful. But I'm just saying, as an adult.
Their brains are sponges.
Their brains
are
sponges. But as an adult, you know, but I do say, I get that regret, because you're always like, well, if I just fucking didn't take this. It's like, it's the same regret you feel of, like, I knew I wanted to do comedy when I was young, but then I went to college and I didn't see an avenue for it. It's like the same thing of like, I wish I started that earlier. It's like all the, you know, it's like, you have all these kids at UCB, right? They're coming in at like 21.
Yeah.
And they're out of the get ready to go.
They're ready to go and they got nothing to say.
Right.
And I'm like, God bless. I was like, you know what? You are going to grow up. You are going to experience life through this lens.
Yes.
And I tell my students, it was like, you know, you need to go out and live a life. You need to go out there. You need to make mistakes. You need to have regrets.
Yeah.
You need to, you know, fuck some people that you should have never had any business fucking.
No.
And, you know, you're going to come out at the other side. And it's like, I'm a survivor.
Yes.
Just like when I was drowning in the beach, I was a survivor. And I will continue to be with strange dudes on Grindr because I'm a survivor.
Exactly. Right. And your mother taught you that.
She taught me.
She threw you to Grindr.
Close your eyes and start paddling. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
So when did you start? Just so I, like, did you start UCB and everything later?
It was post-college. This was like maybe 2 or 3 years after college.
Okay, so like, you weren't a baby.
I always loved comedy and I was like being clever and funny, but I never, and I did, like, as a kid, did see myself doing it. I remember having conversations in grade school saying, I'm going to be a comedian.
Right. Wow.
And then that just shifted and changed.
Well,
because
it's not
a thing that you
doesn't seem tangible.
Do. It doesn't seem tangible. And then at my last semester in college, I took an because I wanted to be a sports journalist, I took an internship at WNBC. Mm. Then I realized sports is boring. I was like, I just want to do the sports I like. And they were like, no, you have to do all these other sports. I was like, I don't want to fucking do hockey.
Yeah.
I do not want to have to learn hockey. So it was like, well, you're gonna kind of have to learn it. And I was like, no, thank you.
Yeah.
Don't tell me
but
what
at
to
that
do.
Point,
don't
you were applying yourself and you made a choice.
Yeah. Yes. I was really, like, in college, I was really going after it.
So you picked the right, then look, you picked one college and it worked.
Yeah. And I think because, like, it was, and I was one of the few people who were, like, actively involved.
Yeah.
I ran the radio station. I wrote for the newspaper. I was, I did a video magazine.
Wow. Wow.
Like, that's a journalism, what do they call it? Like a TV journalism sort of thing.
Yeah.
Like an Inside Edition, but for our college. I was a producer and editor on that. And then, like, the last semester, I found out about the New York Television Festival, and I had access to all these cameras, and I was like, oh, hey, why don't we just, like, just do this? I'm gonna write a quick script.
Yeah.
I was blessed with that ignorance of like,
yeah,
I didn't
course.
Know what that thing was. I was like,
yeah.
Let's just do it. Let's cast it. Let's go on the internet. Like, the internet was accessible then.
The internet existed.
Yeah. And then we did all this shit, and it was, and we submitted, and it was great, and it was hard.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't think I've ever done anything that big since.
Because now you're like, oh, I know what this takes.
I know what this takes, but I was like, but it was also just like laziness.
Yes, of course.
You know, we all get caught up in it.
Oh, we all get caught.
You know? I don't know Spanish, but I know a lot about Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, it's all about like that application. I think that's my biggest regret is like, applying myself when I know you can do.
Do you still feel that way now?
In some cases, yes.
Because we were just talking about don't say the thing. Before you were saying the thing of how you're not talking about things until you complete them.
Yes. I'm not, I'm, yeah.
That's fascinating. I actually have to talk about it to be accountable.
Oh.
I'll be like when I was in college, I was like, I'm moving to New York. Before I, like, had a plan, I still had a car. Like, I had no job. It was just, like, I had to start saying it. And my dad's like, you do that so that you'll be accountable. So you have to move there.
I have no accountability or respect for the things that I do. I don't care about myself.
No,
I smoked weed through high school. I kind of coast through life a little.
Mm.
And I kind of, like, get by with shit.
Yeah.
And I think because of that, I've become lazy. I like just because, and that, I feel like that's linked to like my first regret, which was like in high school, because I can get by.
Yeah.
Yes.
I did get by.
Yes.
Right.
And there's a certain point where I can't be accountable to myself, but I can be accountable to people who believe in me.
Yes.
Right.
And every time that I do not do something, it is an insult to every person who believes in me.
Wow.
It's like my parents, my friends, my family.
Yeah.
People who like talk to me about like stuff like that. Because it's like, I know I can do stuff.
Yeah.
I choose not to do stuff.
Yeah. And that's the clarity that, you know, people need sometimes.
And is it the fear? Sometimes there's that fear of rejection. So it's like, I'm not going to put myself out there because I don't want to be disappointed.
Oh, I'm definitely afraid of the world, but not in the sense of rejection in terms of like society. I accept, and I think it's that victimization of anyone who's marginalized.
Yeah.
You already accept you've lost before you've played the game.
Right.
And so it's very hard to muster the energy when you see contemporaries who are actively aggressive and putting it forward and talented and smart, getting nothing.
Yeah.
And so as I sit there on the fringes, I wonder, is it worth getting into a system that wasn't built for me? Is it worth that energy it's seeking the approval of those who do not understand me and will never understand me.
Right. But don't you think that that you'll help somebody who is like you, a younger you? Like,
oh, 100%.
Right? And it's like you pave your own path and you know there's a ton of people that get your humor. They're just not in the light right now, like you're saying. Yes. They don't have the opportunities. Yeah. And it's like we all get the late night white guy humor. I get it. I've actually seen it all the time. Right. It's like, I want to see, like, Samantha Bee, I think, is so successful because she's, like, bringing a different voice. Like, we all want to see different voices and we all want to see ourselves represented. And then I always think about what would, like, I'm doing it for my 12-year-old self is what I always say, like, what I wish I could have seen.
I think that's such a great way to look at it.
Yeah. Because I know that you are, like, helping so many people and I think that you are such a role model. You become one probably even when you don't want to be.
Yeah. Well,
just as a teacher, I mean, like, we were just talking about it, just to have somebody, you know, who is not the straight male white improviser teaching every single class that comes. Like, you're dealing with 16 kids in a class, or 16 kids, they could be whatever.
Probably adults.
They're probably adults. But 16 people in a class and funneling through that. I mean, just to have that, you can catch things, I think, that other people let slide. Not that that's your responsibility if you don't want it to be.
But the thing is, like, you almost, that's the burden of, like, the marginalized, like, you know, like.
Right.
I have to.
Yeah.
I cannot let it slide. Because.
But it's so fucking annoying.
It's like, I can see these things that other people can't.
Yeah.
And I have the ability to speak to it, so I have to.
Right.
But however, like, when I do stuff like that, when I do speak out, there is that turn. I do see people
defensive. Yes.
I also see, I definitely know that it's hurt my ability to acquire opportunities. People are reticent.
But that's bullshit.
Some people.
I'm not going to say all.
No, of course.
I'm not going to say all.
It's real.
It's real.
But it's fucking crap.
Like, I've seen it in their eyes.
Yeah. I know.
Because they don't want to be challenged.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
And they consider it disrespectful. It's how dare you?
But it's also asinine. Because here's the thing. Bottom line. We spoke about this before. We were saying this before the mics came on. You are in a part of this system whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
You grew up with it. Even if you had the most liberal fucking white parents from here to Timbuktu, they grew up with it too. So everybody has been, unless you live in a cave where nothing, you never met, never saw TV, you are embedded in this system. And we all get afraid of being like, oh, I got... White people get so scared of being like, oh, you're a racist. Everybody's fucking racist.
Everyone's racist.
Until you deal with the fact, and if you get called out, you go, oh, you're a marginalized person calling me out? That means you're in the know better than me. I'm sorry, and I'm going to think about what I can do better next time, and I'm going to change my behavior and do my own goddamn research. I'm not going to put it on you to fucking teach me how to do it.
And I think also it's like also one of those things where it's like I look at those small instances and I let that affect how I feel about the broad world out there. And it's,
how could you not though? Sometimes?
But it's like it's essentially the reverse. I need to isolate that. I need to go back to that idiot in college who didn't think about any of that stuff and just did.
Yeah.
Right. I just need to do. We all just need to do and exist and then learn and then grow.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, move forward. Like don't stop yourself from having the possibility of fucking up. Like, go out there with the intention of knowing you will fuck up and then learn from that.
Yeah, you might regret it, but here you are being on our podcast.
I always think that, like, in life, you don't realize you're colorblind to things, right? Where I grew up, I was colorblind to things. I didn't know because I can't see color. So I don't know I'm missing these shapes. And it's okay to just realize
metaphorically.
This is all metaphor.
Yeah. I'm just because colorblind is, we're talking about race.
Right. I'm talking about, but race, sexual, gender, anything that you're just not aware of, you're colorblind to. And then when someone points it out, you just have to realize, like, okay, it's okay. I didn't see it before.
Yeah.
I couldn't have. I was colorblind. I now can see it and I need to be aware of it and I need to respect it and realize I can't, you know. For someone who, it's like, I can't beat myself up for being colorblind. The only thing I can do is make changes. And for my friends that I also know are colorblind,
it's my job.
Color.
That's the thing. But it's also the thing of, and we have a lot of tough conversations, but it's things of like, white people got to be talking to white people. This is not.
Right.
Men, that's the thing of like, I will talk to a man, like a male, whatever. If I see a male improviser who's trampling women consistently.
Yeah.
You know, I'll talk to them, but I also don't want to spend, it's not my job to spend my entire day teaching you what it's like to be a woman on
and
a stage.
And also, there's built-in bias. People are going to listen to those who are familiar to what they understand.
Yes.
You know, I will listen to people that remind me of my family more than I will outside of it.
Of course.
It's a human thing.
Yes.
And I think that's something that we need to understand, that this is not something that is isolated to a culture. It is part of humanity.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, I need to break past that and be accepting and giving. Just because I'm a marginalized person does not mean that I know everything.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm, you know, even though I'm gay and Puerto Rican, doesn't mean I don't live with the privilege of being a man in this society.
Right. Mm-hmm. You're colorblind to some things, but you can see more color than, you know, a straight white man.
Yeah. But like people will listen to me because I am a man. But imagine if I was a woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. And how that dynamic shifts greatly. Not even minutely. I would say greatly. And it's because of all this other shit. And it's just like, oh, man. It's like we're all juggling a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like I was referring earlier to, like, you know, all these high schoolers are dealing with a lot of shit and they're stupid. It was like, not much has changed from high school.
No, exactly. Yeah.
We're still fucking stupid and we still got a lot to deal with.
We're all stupid. Here's so the true. I always think about this. I always think about this because I don't know. I went to public school in New York City, you know, and I never went to a private. I didn't go to Catholic school. I didn't, you know, so I literally, even though Jews do go to Catholic school, there's nothing wrong with it if that's what you want to do. But, you know, I always remember being young, and in the early 90s, if you went to school, I think, especially in a city, you were taught that we were in a post-racial America. And it was like, we don't see color. We are the world. And we are the people. We are the world. Look at TGI Friday, my friend.
Hello.
I mean, hanging with Mr. Cooper. I mean, we're past this.
I will say, like, in the 90s,
things
were much better.
Yeah,
yeah, I mean, exactly. That's true.
Well, maybe, like, maybe because we were all like 7 and 8 and just fucking sipping on
juice. Yeah, I mean, and I did grow up it was diverse, but it was not. It was a lot of Jewish people, so it was like, you know. But it's like to grow up as an adult and be like, that was bullshit.
Right.
That's straight. I went into my first class my freshman year I was a women's studies minor. I became a women's studies minor because of this class, and they were like, how are all the ways you're oppressed as a woman? I was like, what's oppression? I'm a Jewish person, and I didn't know the word oppression, what it actually meant. I knew anti-Semitism.
Mm-hmm,
you
mm-hmm.
could put anything in a Jew term, and my whole family's on board. We got it. We're good. But I'm like, what is that? What is?
Yeah,
I had no clue.
It's that comfort. That's why we're comfortable.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's so difficult about it. You know, just like how I said, like in high school, like I was comfortable getting by.
Yeah.
And I think we as people are comfortable just getting by. And I think it's just like sometimes you just need to stop and be like, I need to do more.
Yeah,
I need to do more. Not just for myself, but like you said, for people. Who are coming up for that stupid little toddler running around in yoga. We gotta.
And that my plank changed him.
You know?
Him.
Yeah.
Changed him.
Changed him. Made him a man, if you will.
Well, I mean, I do think, though, you know, you're still watching Game of Thrones. So all those video games did bring you to something.
It did bring me to Game of Thrones.
It's in the zeitgeist. I cannot get into it. I will be honest.
I don't think there's anything wrong.
It's too far gone.
Well,
it's too much.
I never watched Lost and I never will.
Yeah,
I don't know. I know some of the cast from from Friends.
Yeah,
I
don't need to know the rest.
No,
I mean the thing is, like,
also when you look back at that show, talk about
it doesn't age well.
Oh Lord,
doesn't age well.
Most shows don't.
Yeah,
most shows
do not age well.
Yeah,
because I think that's on Netflix now. Or
it's
something.
The whole thing. Yeah. I watched it many times. I mean, it's and I was like, ooh, like it does not.
You know what aged really well? Golden Girls.
You know what?
See, I haven't gotten into it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I used to watch it with my grandparents.
So woke.
It is.
Like, I'm like, seriously, fuck most TV that's on right now.
Yeah.
Watch Golden Girls.
Yes.
I love
Get
that.
Your Life.
Yes.
Get Your Life. Wait, where is it on, though? Where can I watch it?
It's on the Hulu.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think it is on Hulu.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I used to watch that with my grandparents. And then I realized I'll still watch it as an adult. It is a solid fucking show.
That pilot is one of the best pilots I've ever seen. You will be flabbergasted.
I can't wait.
like just watch you just watch
it.
The pilot.
I think you would love it because you like glands. You like moms and older women.
I am a mother and an older yes. woman. That's my spirit animal.
That's
so
what it is.
You better believe I will.
That's what it is.
You better believe it.
I mean. I'm so excited for you.
Yeah, me too. Oh my God, me too. I used to, as a kid, go, this is what I used to say. This was how I protected myself. I was like, I'm going to be a lawyer or a doctor. But then when I get older and become a grandmother, I'm going to get those grandma parts. I was like, then I'll become an actress.
You're like, I will.
That's some conditioning.
Yeah, for
that's
sure.
That's some cultural conditioning
there
right
you
there.
Go.
Yeah.
You're like,
I'm going to do it. You're supposed to do for most of my life. Yes. And then right before I die, I'm going to do what I want.
Motherfucker, so I'm going in and I'm getting your grandmother, your crazy aunt, the teacher that won't retire. Yeah. That's right. That's me every day. And then I said, Jesse,
do what you
turn
want.
Back the clock.
Turn back.
Take the time.
Truly
go out
we're
there.
We're all
get on
sitting
that stage.
Here.
Yeah.
On, you know, we're recording again on a Friday.
On a Friday.
It's a Friday.
We're all sitting here and we're living our life.
Absolutely.
And we'll figure it out. The truth is if we can do this in New York, you could figure it out in Idaho. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That's me judging. Do I fucking know what's like in Idaho? I'm sorry. I don't, you know.
Fix your heart in Idaho. Like,
exactly.
Don't,
I can't hate in Idaho. That was.
Different I'm struggles, not, different places.
Exactly. Oh, so I take that back, sure. Idaho. We're best friends. I take that back.
It's very funny, Idaho. You know what I mean? Idaho. But that's what I think.
So,
but also potatoes. Potato, patat.
You know what? We know a lot about Idaho, and I'm glad we're sharing.
Exactly. That's where we are the
premier...
I don't know what it's critics of.
Critics, absolutely.
So we know about you in high school. Mm-hmm. So is there any other regrets? You feel this is your last time to ever
this
speak
it,
about
Lou.
Regrets, Lou. That's it.
I started a production company I never should have started.
Did you?
Yeah, because I think it was just, again, just like following the path.
Yeah.
I was just like, we're going to do this. I'm going to start a production company. We're going to make money like doing stuff and then we'll be able to do our own stuff.
Yeah. That's most production companies.
And it was of like the guys of being like, oh, we'll have people like we'll work locally and then we'll go outside. But we didn't had no business acumen. We had no knowledge of that. So it was just a lot of trial by error and a lot of frustration. Mm-hmm. And I think like, I should have been much more vocal and aggressive than I should have been because I was unsure of myself at the time and as to what I really wanted because I didn't know what I wanted.
Of course.
I mean, I think it was like 22 at the time. Like what 22 or what 23-year-old knows. But I just did not put in the gung-ho, just be like, this is who I am, this is what we're doing. Mm-hmm. Even though, like, I knew, it was like, I would always, like, have a conversation with the client, and in my head, be like, I don't know about this.
Yeah.
And I never vocalized it.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things where it's like, I think sometimes, not now, but definitely younger, I'd allow myself to get talked over or talked through or convinced.
Yeah.
I've learned from that now, but I wish, you know, that's my regret. It's like, I wish I was a little bit more like, this is what we should do. This is what we're going to focus on.
Yeah.
Again, reaching out more. Oh, that's God. That's definitely one of my biggest regrets. Like in terms of like being younger was I was really bad at like reaching out to people when I just in general.
I think it's not natural. I mean, for some people it's natural. I think you can have more of a salesy background. Your father was a salesman, I feel, or is a sales consultant. But I think you even probably had to teach yourself how to do it. I don't think it's natural always to be like networking and reaching out and asking for favors and doing stuff. It can get, it's very intimidating. You don't want to feel like you're bothering someone. You don't feel like they feel used. You don't want to feel a lot of those things.
Yeah.
You know?
And I was a producer, like I produced a lot of stuff. But when it was under the guise of other people, I was emboldened to do it.
Yeah.
But once it was for myself, to give myself that agency, I couldn't.
Yeah. Giving yourself agency is...
Yeah.
It's what we all struggle with, I think.
It is hard. And it is... It's that same thing of... It's truly... It is the same way that you ask for help. That's what I think it is. Like, in school, I was taught to ask for help because I'm dyslexic. So I, at a very young age, had to learn that I learn differently. I have to tell my teachers. I have to ask for help when I don't understand something. And because of that, I was able to ask for help in my life in the sense of, oh, I have to network. I have to go ask people for help or see if someone can help me or reach out to this person and ask for advice. Like, and it did become natural to me because, and it's still something that I think can be part of a job, part of your job, especially if you have your own company. And it's like, yeah, you have to be staying up to date with old clients being like, how did everything go? So glad to hear. Let me know about future projects. Love to like stay in touch. And then you're reaching out to new people like, hey, so you're making content. Wanted to reach out, say like I'm working. And it's hard because, I mean, you don't want to. Well, it's important to remember to not ding ding. That's okay. Everybody That's okay. gets a Everybody phone call. Everybody gets a text. Everybody gets popular. If you have popular,
I got a text message for my mom, guys.
Oh, yes.
She got me an Amazon gift card.
Oh, my there you go.
The thing is, start from the bottom. Now I'm here. Okay. I'm thriving.
Thriving.
This is the same woman who let me drown.
I love
beach.
Her. But you know what? Now she's making up with those
Amazon. Thank you. You got Amazon.
It's raining Amazon.
Oh, my God.
You know? Yeah, I mean, I think it's just something that also we're in a way different world than we were when we grew up, right? So think about when we grew up and how they talked about, you know, when you get a job or when you grow. Yeah. Like, now we're in this internet age, but the internet only just started when we were, like, learning about everything, you know, like, or just started getting big, I should say. And it's like, networking was, you know, you'd have to go out, get a drink with somebody, really call them up, have a meeting. Now we have access to all of these people. You could find people you never met, try to connect to them. And it's
LinkedIn.
Oh.
My BFF LinkedIn? Obsessed.
Really? LinkedIn? Is LinkedIn
sponsor
works?
This podcast, yeah, I would die.
Jesse uses LinkedIn hardcore.
Yeah?
Girlfriend is a detective.
I was on
LinkedIn.
I'm scared of LinkedIn because there's a bunch of, like, old men on it. And, and so I'm like, I am not an old man. I am not doing this. I am not an old man. And I was like, you know what? I got to, again, take that judgment.
Take that judgment.
Yeah. Throw it in the garbage.
Throw it away.
Yes. Throw it in the garbage.
LinkedIn is the one, I guess, social media type of platform where I accept anyone, mostly anyone, who says, who tries to connect with me. I'm
absolutely.
Like, yep. Okay. Yep.
I have not changed my LinkedIn since my senior year of college.
Lou.
You know what?
Oh, no, since my production company.
Well, don't tell us if you're going to because you have to, you can't tell, then you won't complete it.
You have to do it. I love LinkedIn. I love it to death.
I've never heard anyone speak with such passion about LinkedIn ever. I've only heard the opposite.
I love it. I think it's wonderful. I think it's great. It's like, okay, this is the thing. If you're out there and you're on that hunt, okay, and I consider myself a hunter, if you will.
Yeah.
I'm hunting. Always on the hunt. Always
you're
on the
hunting.
Hunt.
For lovers. I'm hunting for for business. I'm hunting for, listen.
Amazon gift card.
Somebody needs a host at a bat mitzvah. I want to be the first person you think of, right?
Of course.
So I'm out there. I'm hunting. I'm like, who's hiring for what? Who's doing this? Like, I worked in public relations. I majored in it. And I do some like sometimes side off, but I'm like public relations, whatever. It's like, you're a hunter. That's what you are. You're out there. You're hunting, right?
You're hunting.
I'm like, you're a basketball player. Okay. And I'm your hunter. Okay. I'm on that LinkedIn. I'm going, who's a recruiter? Okay. 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 Who makes basketballs? Do you need a spokesperson? Do you need an athlete? Do you need someone to come maybe sign basketballs, pump them up, get the kids on the court? Are we doing a training session at your facility? And can I provide for you the athlete to teach it? Because that's what LinkedIn is. Okay. Well,
wow. It's about
to go down on LinkedIn.
It's about, I didn't know you knew so much about basketball, number one.
I mean,
do
you make the balls and need a sponsor?
You pump them up, baby. Dribble, dribble.
Wow.
Is that what you need?
I studied sports journalism.
Yes.
And all of this is accurate.
Oh, yeah.
I will co-sign all of this pump. They pump up their basketballs.
Yes, they do.
They do workshops.
Thank you.
They do all these things. Yeah, you're right. I mean, you convinced me.
Thank you.
I know.
But
it's confusing.
Send me an email shaming me.
Okay.
Yeah.
To get my LinkedIn life together.
I will.
And I will.
And I'll find you on LinkedIn.
That's it.
Oh, don't.
I better be a first connect.
Now that's gonna make me want to change it because I'm embarrassed and looking at my LinkedIn profile.
We're gonna be like, you know, trolling
Angry
you
Lou on
LinkedIn.
All platforms.
Because it was when I was trying to look to get a job in the media.
Sure.
So I was like, I'm an intern at NBC.
Oh, whoa, baby! You're an intern at NBC.
The local affiliate.
That's still NBC. That is an iron door.
It is an iron door.
They do not let anybody in. You got to knock three times, turn around, go get a sandwich, come back, present it, leave it, come back.
I had a connection because the person who ran the intern program went to my college. And it's all about those connections, it honey. Is.
That's LinkedIn, baby. You got to connect.
Yeah, it is. It is. But you know what? You can also do it. We don't need to. I didn't have as many.
Connections, girl? You got connections?
Now I do.
Connect. Get on LinkedIn. Now I connect. We're all connected. That's the bottom line. Are they Jewish? I'm in.
Yeah. That's usually.
I'm in. I gotcha.
Yeah. That's usually. You know? Usually the Jewish thing.
Get in
thing
that door.
Is,
find that connect.
Get us jobs. I'll tell you that much.
Do you like to blow up basketballs?
That's it.
Pump them up. Blow them up. Whatever you're doing.
I wish we could get like a group of teenagers in a room and just have you give that spiel to them.
Oh yeah, the truly, I could. My dad's like a sales trainer, motivational speaker, and I think it's in my blood.
I think it is because like you got me to like LinkedIn. And when I came here today, that was the furthest thing from my mind.
Yeah, the next thing is you got to get him on page about Lost. That's the next thing.
Wow, Lost.
I don't think we'll ever change it. We'll never change
it. It's
going
to happen because it's too complex and everyone hates the ending. So why go to something I'm going to hate?
Yeah, and I never watched all of Lost, so I couldn't be passionate about it.
I did. I was hardcore.
Get on that.
You don't have to tell me twice. Yes. I'm on board with This Is Us. I don't understand why they have so many Emmy nominations, but you know what? I love it.
Yeah.
Didn't
people just wanted to cry.
Did she not?
She didn't.
And I was livid. I knew I was livid.
She didn't.
I was livid.
She didn't.
Okay,
because she was so good being older.
So well, that the older, I don't know if I could give it to her, to be honest. I'm like the
that's
makeup.
That's not her. That's the wig department.
And I'm like, if I could age like that, God bless. Because she looks the same except for maybe a wrinkle or two, and her eyebrows are like a little lower.
Listen, we've gotten better.
But you're a big fan of her work on the show.
I stood up and clapped for her. I said, Mandy, you son of a bee.
But this is why.
And she's doing one takes, baby. They're not cutting. That's huge.
That is.
Thank you.
She is. But can I also say why?
Milo.
Because when you saw Mandy, I'm missing you, you know, like Candy. Did you think that you would be clapping for her in a drama, or whatever it is?
I want to remember. I went, this girl might have it.
Oh,
she
no.
She might have the job.
I disagree with you. When she said, I don't want to be angry with God, I don't know what's causal because I'm Jewish, but I really did laugh at that line.
I'm going to blame the writer for
that. Okay.
It wasn't
a great writer.
Do you want me to be angry with
she
God?
She was like a meek little whatever. But yeah. I'm saying, if you're, like, here's the thing.
Two
trays. We were just talking about Moana, why some people don't see you love Moana. But some people are like, I don't know. And I think it's because they got so hyped. And things get overhyped. Mandy Moore, guess what? She is not overhyped.
No, she underhyped. I'm hyping.
Yes. Yeah, so I think her hype has gone up.
Yes, I do too.
I really want to get into Moana.
Exactly.
I don't know if we have time. But I think the reason why people don't get in, I think it's just like you just have to have a further appreciation. I think people have their immediate judgment, and then they come to this thing already with that judgment, and then they look for confirmations of that judgment rather than being open to the possibilities of it being good. So everyone has, and I think that's how we approach so many things.
Yeah. No, I've heard Moana was amazing.
I watched it.
Watch it twice because I think it needs a second watch. My first watch, I thought it was fine. I was like, this is fine. I saw it in theaters. I liked one song. I was like, this is fine. This is fine.
Yeah.
Then I saw someone post about it on Facebook being like, Moana, Moana, Moana. And I was like, okay. And then I just decided I'm going to watch it because I was like, oh, I'm just going to watch it again. It's a Disney movie.
Yeah, whatever.
And I was snatched.
Okay, really?
Moana snatched my wig, and I was like, Moana, and here's why. Okay, Moana is not a princess.
Yes.
Moana is abandoned by her family. She's abandoned by the person who's supposed to help her.
True.
Okay. Again, these are spoilers. Get ready.
Yeah.
Okay. And she does not achieve success through conflict and violence, but of acceptance and love.
Very true.
That is true.
Very and Lin-Manuel wrote the music. And the music is fire. After it like the third or fourth listen, there's three songs on there. You can't stop.
Yeah.
I can't stop on like repeat. It's so good. Wow.
I will say that I only watched it one time. I will say that. But when I watched it, this is spoiler. We've already said it. But that one part where she's going to the thing and the music, it's like almost everything stops. Like I felt my heart kind of stop. And I went, what's happening?
Yeah.
Like, because it got so slow. It did feel like I slowed down. Like she was walking
it's
slowly.
It's a very powerful moment.
The way they did the music, I don't understand it because I went, like, I'm slow yeah. too. Like, this is yeah. so eerie in a beautiful way. Yeah. But I love an eerie. I love when things happen where music cuts out and I go, like, I can't breathe. Yeah. I'm like, I was expecting music, so I can't breathe. And that happened, but I had to rewatch that part a few times because I went, what's happening to me? What am I feeling?
Yeah.
But I expected to, I love a cry, and people told me I'm going to cry, and I said, I'm ready. I got my tissues.
Well, that's why.
I got my marshmallows. I'm ready to go. Bring it.
That's
and
why.
I didn't get it, and so I was sad. I was disappointed. Yeah. I wanted to cry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe you'll cry a second time.
Maybe
yeah.
I will cry the second
I
time.
I think that's why you love This Is Us, because that's why I love This Is Us.
Yes.
And that's why I love Parenthood.
Parenthood!
I call it cry porn. I call it cry porn because I'm like, you know what? I do want to cry.
Yeah.
I think we all need a good cry.
And I was very anti This Is Us because I was like, you're not going to fill Parenthood. I also was unsure of some of the storylines. I was like,
me too.
What is this?
There's one episode that I was just like, ooh, baby.
It's like. But then she was like, no, do
I
it.
I said, you must.
And I was
I made her. I watched the first one with her. I said,
and
we're
then
doing
I was,
it. And then
I was
second.
In.
It's so good. And listen, I cry like the sun's not coming
you
up.
You need
and
it.
I got all night,
you
even
need
though
it.
It's 2 in the
you
afternoon. And I am just, I'm so committed. And I love it. And I love it. And I love the writing. I think it's one of the best written shows on television right now. And I owe them nothing.
We owe them nothing.
We owe them absolutely nothing, but you can catch us on LinkedIn.
Oh, there we go.
Please sponsor
there we go.
The podcast. Okay.
So thank you, Lou.
Lou.
What a joy, guys.
Thank you.
It's always a pleasure being in your company.
Of course. Same. And thank you. And watch, you have to make a LinkedIn and we have to watch Moana again.
Yeah.
That's what we have to do. We all have to do.
I cried at Moana, but yeah.
Get a bottle of wine, watch some Moana.
That's it.
Yeah. Two times. Listen, so we feel great. We feel good. We're happy. We're feeling good. Everybody go out there and push yourself. Follow your fear. Worst that happens, you have some regrets.
And that's it.
Live your life with regrets. Forever
Dog. This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Joe Cilio, Alex Ramsey, and Brett Boehm. For more podcasts, please visit ForeverDogProductions.com.